Let's take our Bibles and look together in Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah chapter 32, as we continue our reading and commentary through this great book, Prophet Jeremiah. Lived to see the destruction of Jerusalem by the Babylonian army, exactly as God said it would be. But the people of his day didn't like the message, just like people today don't like a message of condemnation or holiness or justice of God. They want to hear about a God of love. But unless I'm mistaken, up to this point, we haven't seen that word yet in this book pertaining to God himself. But here, it says in verses 1 and 2, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. For then the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the prison, which was in the king of Judah's house. This is Jeremiah 32, verses 1 and 2. So it tells us exactly when this prophecy took place. It says in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah. Remember, the 10 tribes of the north had already been taken away into captivity 100 years prior. But now that remaining southern tribe of Judah was under siege because of their idolatry. And Zedekiah would have been the last king before the final conquest of the Babylonians over Judah. Remember, we saw that, because here it says that this was in the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar, verse 1. So he was already reigning. He'd already come down into the land and taken some people captive. Probably, I know among them was Ezekiel. He was taken among the first to go. Daniel, his friends. And so this was to be the final conquest. And imagine Jeremiah writing this even as Babylon's armies were besieging Jerusalem, circling Jerusalem. You can imagine how this would have been stressful for everybody. But that's where we find Jeremiah here, not free. Zedekiah did not like his message, and there were many who opposed it. There were many false prophets that were saying, no, no, it's not going to last as long as Jeremiah said. And so here we find him in verse 2, the army besieging Jerusalem, and where's Jeremiah? Shut up in the court of the prison. This would have been a prison, a stockade, might be a better way to put it, that was actually in the king's house. In his palace, the royal prison. And so here's where we find it. So we read on in verses 3 through 5, for Zedekiah, king of Judah, had shut him up. It's just like those that sought to quiet our Lord or even his apostles. You can perhaps bind the messenger, but you cannot bind the word. What God has purposed should go forth. For Zedekiah, king of Judah, had shut him up, saying, wherefore dost thou prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord? I believe everybody that the Lord raises up, their message begins with that. Thus saith the Lord. This is not our surmisings or speculations. Thus saith the Lord. Behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall take it. So he's upset with Jeremiah preaching that the Chaldeans would come and take the city, even though he could see they were already besieging it. And Zedekiah, king of Judah, shall not escape out of the hand of the Chaldeans. There's the part he didn't like. But shall surely be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon, and shall speak with him mouth to mouth, and his eyes shall behold his eyes. It's just a way to speak. And you're going to be face to face with this very king of Babylon, and Zedekiah would live to see all of this come to pass exactly as Jeremiah said it would. So there was a message for Zedekiah, but not one of salvation, but of condemnation. And so, in verses 6 through 12, we find an unusual property deal. While Jeremiah is locked up, Jeremiah said, "The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Behold, Hanamel, the son of Shallum, thine uncle, shall come unto thee, saying, Buy thee my field that is in Anathoth, for the right of redemption is thine to buy." So, Hanamel, mine uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison, according to the word of the Lord, and said unto me, evidently, even though he was in prison, he could receive visitors. And here, this Hanamel, his uncle's son, this would be his cousin, came and offered unto Jeremiah to buy the land. It says here, "Buy my field, I pray thee, that is in Anathoth." Anathoth was where Jeremiah was born. That was his hometown. And we saw that back in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 1. It's about 3 miles outside of Jerusalem, so not very far. And so with these Babylonian armies surrounding Jerusalem, the enemy would already likely have occupied Anathoth. But here Jeremiah is offered the opportunity to purchase the land that was already under Babylonian control. We'll see in a little bit why. It says here, "Which is in the country of Benjamin, for the right of inheritance is thine." We have the same situation here according to the law of Moses, that if there was to be a land that had to be given up, just like with Ruth and Boaz, that land never ever left Israel. But that there was a right of redemption or a right of inheritance that ran through the bloodline to ensure that that land would always be there for those heirs. Here's a beautiful picture, if you will, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even the picture here of Jerusalem surrounded by the Babylonians and concern over what would happen to that family property if the Babylonians came down and took it all away. Would there be any property left for the family? And this was the concern here of Jeremiah's cousin. He says, "And the redemption is thine." So Jeremiah would have been that kinsman redeemer, just like Boaz was for Ruth and Naomi. And he's coming to him and asking Jeremiah to exercise that right of redemption to guarantee, to ensure that that land would remain in the family. Do you see how that pictures the Lord Jesus Christ? That even under condemnation, under the law, Christ came and redeemed those that were under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons. Because just like these, under the scrutiny or the condemnation of Babylon, so we were under sin's condemnation, but the right of redemption that Jeremiah is exercising here is a picture and type of the Lord Jesus Christ redeeming what is his own. And so he says, "I bought the field." That's what redemption takes. It takes buying. "I bought the field of Hanamel, my uncle's son, that was in Anathoth, and weighed him the money, even 17 shekels of silver. And I subscribed the evidence and sealed it and took witnesses and weighed him the money in the balances." So this was an official purchase that took place while Jeremiah was in bondage. And some may wonder, well, why would Jeremiah even be concerned about this property, especially in the face of Babylon now taking all this away? Well, it was a statement by God himself that when God had finished with Nebuchadnezzar in that Babylonian captivity, that he would bring the people back in the land, and that that property would be preserved for Abraham and his descendants. So the purchase deed I think about our title deed. What is it? Well, it's the purchase price of the Lord Jesus Christ and his shed blood. And it is a legal transaction that Christ did to purchase that people that the Father gave him, to ensure that there would be an eternal inheritance, even though we live in a fallen world, as was the case here under the condemnation of Nebuchadnezzar. And so that's the lesson we see here in verses 13 through 15 as we read on. But he took the evidence of the purchase, verse 11, both that which was sealed according to law and custom and that which was open. And I gave the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch, the son of Neriah, the son of Maaseiah, in the sight of Hanamel, mine uncle's son, and in the presence of the witnesses that subscribed the book of the purchase, before all the Jews that sat in the court of the prison. That means that Jeremiah wasn't the only one in that court, but anyone that was identified with him. And so he charged Baruch before them, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these evidences, this evidence of the purchase, both which is sealed and this evidence which is open, and put them in an earthen vessel that they may continue many days. What are the evidences that God has given us as his children that we are his, and that in spite of the fall, in spite of the law being our condemnation, what is our evidence of redemption? Well, it's in this word. We have the witnesses of God's word. We have the witness of his Spirit. And here what it says, that they might be preserved in an earthen vessel that they may continue many days. Think about how God has preserved this word even for us these many days. That we know that regardless of how desperate our own nature is in the fall and the condemnation of this world, yet there's hope in that purchased redemption of Lord Jesus Christ. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, verse 15, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. I see that as a type of the resurrection. When I die, what hope do I have for eternal life? Well, here it speaks of houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. Think about all that by God's word and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, those that he has purchased, for whom he has that right of redemption, that hope of glory beyond anything that we could ever imagine here. The property purchase from the prison was an expression of that trust, that persuasion in God's promise that the land would be possessed again. And it was. After 70 years, that's what we're studying in Ezra. The Lord raised up Cyrus, he gave the decree, and so the people of Israel were brought back into the land. A lot of people read those passages as referring to 1948 when God brought Israel back into the land. I'll tell you, the accomplishment of what we're reading here took place after the Babylonian captivity, when the Lord raised up Ezra and Nehemiah and others to lead the people back into the land. And so we see this prayer here of Jeremiah, verses 16 to 23. And now, when I had delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch, the son of Neriah, I prayed unto the Lord, saying, O Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power, and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Isn't that a sweet prayer for even us to consider sometimes when we face dark days and wonder if the Lord is with us or not? Here he prayed unto the Lord. That's where the Spirit directs all true prayer. It's unto the Lord. And he says, thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompensest the iniquity of the fathers in the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts, is his name. Great in counsel and mighty in work. For thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give every one according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. So there he's speaking in terms of judgment. Is God unjust to judge people for their works? Because that's the only thing that you find in Scripture. Apart from the work of Christ, all men will be judged according to their works. Not saved, but judged. The only reason we're not judged is going to be because of Christ being that kinsman redeemer. But here it says, which has set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, even unto this day. He goes all the way back to the Passover, when God first delivered Israel out of Egypt. And amongst other men, and has made thee a name as at this day. See, that's what this is all about. God giving himself glory, whether men see it or not. And has brought forth thy people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and wonders and with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm and with great terror. So as God has acted in the past, so he will act now. That's what he's trusting in here, Jeremiah, in how God delivered Israel and set them in the land to begin with, and now would deliver them once again. And has given them this land, which thou didst swear to their fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they came in and possessed it, but they obeyed not thy voice, neither walked in thy law. They have done nothing of all that thou commandest them to do. Therefore, thou hast caused all this evil to come upon them. If any sinners are condemned, God is not to be blamed for judging and condemning them. He's a just God. But this is what this flesh will do. It would readily blame God rather than take the blame itself. And so, even in this, Jeremiah verses 24 to 25, we'll stop there. Here's a prayer for understanding. Even as he pronounces these things, it was well beyond his own understanding. He says, behold, the mounts, they are come unto the city to take it. When he's talking about the mounds, there are the mounts. He's talking about how Babylon threw up these mounds around the city to starve it off, so that no one going out or entering in could do so without being under the thumb of the Babylonians. And the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans that fight against it because of the sword, of the famine, of the pestilence. Notice that thou hast spoken is come to pass, and behold, thou seest. When we look around and see devastation, pestilence, sword would be fighting, war, famine, all of these things. It comes from God's hand in order to accomplish his purpose. And thou hast said unto me, O Lord God, buy thee the field for money and take witnesses, for the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans. So Jeremiah here, coming to the Lord, is dealing with a dichotomy. On one hand, he understands God's going to take that city and that land, those people, and carry them into captivity. On the other hand, he's telling Jeremiah to buy that piece of land in his hometown. Well, the only answer to that would be that God purposed to bring them back again into the land in his time. And so it is with the work of Christ. It's his work. He's going to have everyone for whom he paid the debt. And everyone will be drawn in his time. Gracious Father, thank you for your word. How precious, how powerful. I pray that you would give us eyes to see and read, understand even how you've worked in the past. So it is that you work even now, according to your sovereign will. And our hope is that everyone that Christ has redeemed, him having the right of redemption, that when this is all said and done, each one will indeed be restored unto him. And whatever we lost in the fall, we know that he has brought back again in his redemption. And there is our hope of glory. So we give you the praise. Ask that you glorify yourself even through this time of worship. In Christ's precious name I pray. Amen.